When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Before we get back to Phil Martelli, I want to let you know our friends at Black Rock Bar and Grill, they're back too. If you forgot, or if you haven't heard, Black Rock Bar and Grill is where you cook your steak or seafood at your table on a 755-degree slab of volcanic granite. Every bite is hot and cooked the way you like it. Black Rock also has a complete menu of fully prepared appetizers, salads, sandwiches, burgers, entrees, and desserts. You can join them for lunch, date night, or a family night out. Call ahead for priority seating is strongly encouraged. Or you can order online for carryout. Experience steak on a stone at Black Rock Bar and Grill on State Street, just south of I-94, right here in Ann Arbor. And so, as you heard me say so many times, great time with Tim McCormick, former Michigan basketball standout, now NBA analyst, college basketball analyst. He was a first-round draft pick. And just a lot of terrific guests and insight that we garner from those and glean from those guests. Phil Martelli, on the heels of the loss to UCLA, joined us last week. And, to pick things up here in part two, Tim, he sort of gets into reflections with Phil on biggest takeaways from the season. So let's get into part two with Phil Martelli.
Phil, what are your favorite takeaways from this season?
Wow. The bench, their engagement in the games, the absolute balance that these guys carried themselves with. The emotional balance, even after the pause, the balance in basketball. Like, I don't think we were a great offensive team. I don't think we were a great defensive team. But I do think we were a great team because of the balance. Going into a game and really knowing that we're going to find a way because of that balance, like, I would put that out there. Who was the most valuable player on this team? I have no idea. I really have no idea. But I will say this. The team was the most valuable. Every one of those 17 guys. That was wonderful to watch. I think the growth in Juwan Howard, it was for me, that was just tremendous. And then you have a little bit of these disappointments, like the brilliance of a Franz Wagner not playing in front of a packed house every night, even on the road, for people not to have had a chance to really see him up close and how brilliant he is, how cerebral Eli Brooks is, to see the joy in Shaundi Brown and Mike Smith. And I don't want to leave anybody out, but I also would have enjoyed taking this ride with Hunter Dickinson, because I think that Hunter over time will be the most beloved Michigan player at home, and he'll be the most, I hate to use the word hate, particularly during Holy Week, but he will be the most targeted player on the road because he's animated.
Yeah. Yeah. You can definitely see that. I'm curious, you being in the arena, I just felt like watching you guys all season, Phil, watching Juwan Howard, watching your in-game adjustments. Now, this is me. I'm not asking you to co-sign what I'm about to say, but I am asking you to take us inside and see if you can tell us some stories about an in-game adjustment that you guys made collectively that you look back on and you were like, yeah, man, we really dialed that one up. Because I just felt like you guys consistently, you know, out-coached the other staffs you were up against. I felt that way, you know, in some games in the tournament there for sure. And I'm curious if there are any moments that you can think of when you look back where you say, man, this is a move that we discovered in the game that really worked exactly how we drew it up.
Well, two just jumped to mind as you were asking the question. We were in trouble against Oakland. We were in real trouble. I think we were down 10 in the second half. And Juwan walked down the bench and pointed to Terrence Williams and Hunter Dickinson and put them in the game. And let's call it the way it is. But at Oakland, when we played Oakland, Hunter wasn't Hunter at that point in time. He was not starting. And Terrence and Hunter flipped switch in that game, got us to overtime and enabled us to win. And I just sat there and said, and I asked him the next day, where, because I have a sheet when, you know, of how he wants to sequentially sub, and nowhere was that combination on the sheet. That was one. And then the other one was the Ohio State inbounds against pressure where five guys stood out of bounds. We talked about that a year ago. And his library, that's my, his mental library is what is absolutely extraordinary. The ATOs are Juwan, like he has those on a sheet and he's ready to go. Even the last play, when people say, well, what were you looking for? We were trying to get a lob to Brandon Johns over the top. Why did Hunter inbound? Because Brandon's a better jumper, and we thought their five-man would be on the ball, which he had been all game. And that game, that play, we saw that at a summer tournament last year. Not this summer, the past summer. We saw a team in the Peach Jam Championship run that. And he had it in his pocket. And really, as we were going to the timeout, I think it was Sadi said, Peach Jam. And so while they were resetting the clock, that was the play that was drawn up.
That's some great stuff. That's great stuff. You ask a question, you wonder where it's going to go, right? That was some outstanding stuff. So all right, so now, Phil, now take me into, you know, sort of the coaching mindset or thought process in the day and age of A, the transfer portal, B, this COVID shirt, as I'm calling it, where guys can return, and you have a very talented incoming class, and the conversations that you have with guys on your roster about whether or not they're going to return. Can you take us into the considerations there, kind of the things that you're going to be talking to the players about when they decide whether or not they're going to come back or move on with their basketball careers?
Well, first and foremost, like this, whatever anybody wants to think about, free agency or not, basically what has happened is they've taken an axe and they've chopped off the bottom of the tree, and there's no longer building a program. Mm-hmm. You're literally building a team every year. What we are going to rely on is the culture and the personal relationship with each and every guy, and to sit and talk with each and every guy and to express to them, how does this fit for you? There's nothing magical, but because one of the foundations of this program is communication, that's not going to change. We're not going to hide from a conversation. The young guys coming in, they're part of it. And I don't really have an answer other than each individual is going to be treated as an individual, and honest conversation will take place. you know, big picture, I don't, for the life of me, understand. I cannot understand why the NCAA moved forward with this free agency, knowing already that teams were going to be in flux on who was coming back and who wasn't coming back. They had. I just think it was a mistake. I really do. I've been staring at one for the last 36 hours. There's a young man transferring from Colorado to Tulsa. Guess what? Last year he transferred from Tulsa to Colorado.
Wow.
You know, like watch you, you're basketball people, and you think that's like, seriously, I bought a house last year. It's really a nice house, but man, I miss my own. I'm going back. Well, that's not the real world. Like that, what? I saw a quote yesterday from a parent said, "Well, you know what? He's not dissatisfied at his school. He just wants to find out what his value is and what he's worth." So it just doesn't make any sense. And here's another little thing, like Jawan Howard and Michigan are hotter than hot. So we could have spent as much time answering transfer questions as we did preparing for UCLA. That's how prevalent it has become. I don't know where we're going. I'm saying in the sport, I don't know where we're going, but I do know that for our program here, it'll all be based on individual communication and the continuing relationship building.
Phil, my final question, and thank you so much for joining us. I know our listeners are curious on what the next steps are in terms of the program, the coaches. Do you guys get together and what are your priorities? What, you know, do you take some time just to get away with your family and clear your mind? What is the next step for the program and for the coaches?
The first thing is going to be individual sessions with the players. I think that'll be just Jawan and the players. He is very, very, very aware of, I'm not crying poor here, but the coaches, Howard Eisley hasn't seen his family since August 15th. I haven't been September 1st. So the sacrifices that the coaches made and the support staff made, you know, give up your Christmas, those kind of things, I know that Jawan is very aware of that. We're very conscious on these guys finishing the semester strong. We really can't get back in the gym. There's a 7-day period after your last game, and then there's a 7-day period prior to your first exams. So the first exams are April 21st. There's no recruiting. So whether we're going to become the master of the Zoom again is what I would anticipate. And scheduling will continue to be fleshed out for guys that need support. For instance, like and I'm not telling tales out of school, but Isaiah Livers' surgery and Eli Brooks' grandma passed away on Wednesday morning. So they know that we're going to be there to support them, and we're going to continue to embrace, as Jawan would say, we're going to embrace this Michigan family. And we may be away, but we're not mentally away from this or emotionally away from anybody involved with Michigan basketball.
I don't know about you, Tim, but let me just say that, Phil, you could obviously teach players a lot about the game of basketball. I think you could teach coaches a lot about how to do an interview, man, because every interview I've ever heard with you has been outstanding, and this was another one of those. I just want to thank you. I really appreciate your time. We really appreciate your time and insight.
Well, I appreciate I appreciate your passion and your support. And, I really wanted to see the ball in the air on Monday night, but it wasn't to be. So we will be back.
Thank you so much, Coach. Enjoy some time well-deserved with your family.
And that was a great, terrific, as I said, you heard me say to Phil. I mean, he can give lessons to coaches and how to do.
He fills it up.
He fills it up. Doesn't give away too much, but gives you enough to where, you know, he's saying something. He's telling you about the team. He's giving you some insight. And, man, that dude's a real – that whole staff, you talk about the way they do it, the way they get it done. It should come as no surprise when you realize, how good Juwan is, how good the staff is he has around them, the culture that they've built. It should be no surprise that they've done so well and that they're going to continue to do well. We're going to continue to do the Michigan Basketball Insider. During the offseason, we go to a bi-weekly format. So every other week, we'll drop an episode until next season. Still, we'll have great guests. We'll be getting into some recruiting, NBA Players Association, Top 100 camp. We'll be getting into all that. So be sure to keep it locked wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You'll be able to find the Michigan Basketball Insider. Just search Michigan Insider Podcast, and up they'll come. Tim had some, he had another prediction about which guys will return, which seniors will return for next year's team. So be sure to check that out as well. In the meantime, we got to get to a break. We come back on the other side. We'll get to a recruiting roundup segment. We'll have to be pretty brief there because we want to get to John Paul Morosi, the top of the next hour. So stay tuned for all of that here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Tick.